Let us pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we are very weak believers. We are sorry, Father, that we are not the Christians we ought to be. We are sorry, Lord, that we are not the children that we ought to be. We are sorry, Lord, for all the things we've done this past week, where we have broken your commandments in our thoughts and desires and in our words and actions, that often, Lord, we have not been a spiritual people. We are sorry, Lord, for every way that we have dishonored you and failed to love you with all that we are. But our Father, you have taught us it is your way. It is your way to be patient and gracious and merciful. So as your little children, please teach us this morning. Change us, Lord, so that we grow, so that we grow up as your children and are more like Jesus. Let his mind be our mind. Teach us to love as he loves. Make us a new creation that brings glory to you for his sake. Amen. This past week, I had the privilege of taking part in prayer space in the middle school just up the road. And prayer space is something that BCY, the local Christian schools charity, does every once in a while in the schools. And every pupil there got to come in, and for about an hour, myself and a couple of others got to teach them about prayer. They got some opportunity to pray, to have some time of quiet. And one of the little exercises that we did, we were speaking about change, is all the kids got to write a little note about their hopes and dreams for life. And what are their ambitions? It's really quite eye-opening. And some of them were fun. The one I remember is what somebody had said, when I grow up, I want to be a WWE wrestler and I want to be a trillionaire. But actually, the vast majority were very simple, actually. And they were saying, I want to live a happy life. I want to have a good life. I want my family to be happy. I want us to have enough food and enough money. I want us to have a nice holiday. I want to have a good job. And in that wonderful kind of innocence and simplicity you get with kids, it just got right to the heart of everything, isn't it? And isn't that really just what we all want? Isn't that what we're all looking for? The good life. The good life. Happiness to succeed at work, whatever your job is. To have a happy home, whatever shape your family's in. To succeed and to have balance and peace and wellness. Isn't that what we're looking for? The good life. Well, then the message of the book of Proverbs is good news. Because the message of Proverbs is that you can live a truly good life. You can live a truly good, content and peaceful and happy life and successful life. And its message is that the way to live the truly good life is to have wisdom. Wisdom is the key thing that will help you get it. Wisdom is the way to live, and wisdom is the way to life. And then, as I hope to do this morning, if you step back and look at how Proverbs fits in the whole Bible, the good news gets even better. Because in terms of how Proverbs speaks in the whole Bible, the good news is that Jesus Christ is the wisdom that we need. I'll try to unpack and explain that. But that's what I want to try and share with you this morning by giving you an overview of this book. The way to live the truly good life is wisdom. And the good news is true wisdom is to know Jesus Christ. And all the wisdom you need is in him. So Proverbs as a book is all about wisdom. What it is, where to find it, how to use it, how to put it into practice. And I want to try and read as much of Proverbs as I can as we go along, because it's just so beautiful. As it says in chapter 3, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The way to live a truly good life is to have real wisdom. So, what does Proverbs mean by wisdom? What does that mean? Well, in Hebrew, it's the word chokmah. And it means more than being clever. It means more than having a lot of good book knowledge. And it means more than having street smarts or anything like that. Wisdom means you know how to skillfully navigate through life in this world. That's what wisdom is. You know, you have the skill how to navigate through life in this world. Wisdom is having the skill of living. You know how to live, how to really live. So it means you know how the world works. And you know how to adapt and use and handle life's different challenges, whatever comes to you. It means you know that God has made the world a certain way. There are certain general rules that govern life. And you know the reality of what life is really like, that sometimes the rules don't always work. What life's like in practice. Wisdom is theology applied. How to live out your faith in daily practical ways. Wisdom is knowing how to live in the grey. Not everything in the world is straight black and white. And how you apply what's right and the true to the mess of life is wisdom. Let me give you a picture that I hope will help, that will follow through. Wisdom is like navigating through the rapids of a river. Imagine that life is like the torrential, fast-flowing river that you might go through on a dinghy or a canoe. Wisdom is navigating through it well. A few years ago, well, quite a long time ago now, with a previous youth group, we went on a trip to Eagle Ranch, and as the reward at the end, we got to go down some river rapids in big dinghies, about 10 people in a boat. And honestly, it was the most terrifying hour of my life. Not just for me, but because I was responsible for these 30 teenagers, half of whom had no sense at all, and we're going down these rapids. And my only hope was that the guide in the boat, he knew the river. He was doing it day in, day out. So he knew the flow. He knew the rocks to avoid. He knew when you could jump out and float in the water gently. And then he knew when you would need to paddle like mad. And he knew how to skillfully find the way down the river safely. Now, in one of the other boats, we actually had a guide. And it was his first summer doing it. And he was hopeless. And so our boat kept going back to rescue him. And at times he'd be spinning around, going nowhere. They lost one of the kids out of their boat. He ended up in our boat. They got stuck on the rocks. You could say our guide, he had wisdom. He knew what he was doing. And the other guy didn't. Do you want to understand what Proverbs is about? It's about this. Life is that fast-flowing river. There are rocks where you can ruin your life. There's times and seasons in life when you've got to handle different situations in different ways. Wisdom is so that you don't get stuck or lose somebody on the way. Wisdom is going to teach you how to get through quickly and well. Now, Proverbs is such a big, profound book. The best thing I could really try to do this morning is say to you, go and read it. Go and read it. And I hope I can whet your appetite for it. You know, I discovered recently, you know, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, that for about 50 years, every day of his life, he's read a chapter of Proverbs. It's got 31 chapters, just about right, for one every day. And if you're new to being a Christian, and you want to know where to start in the Bible, start with Proverbs. It's made up of lots of little individual sayings that you can chew on and muse over. If you don't have much time, Proverbs is a great book of the Bible to get into. And it will give you wisdom. But let me try to sum up the big, big things that Proverbs is trying to say. And the first piece of wisdom is this. Above everything else, choose the right pilot for your boat. Above everything else, have the right pilot in your boat. Chapters 1 to 9 are kind of an in-depth summary, an introduction to the book. And it really begins with a father's wise words to his son. Proverbs is written and it's edited by King Solomon. And it's addressed to his son. So the whole book is written with this voice of the father to his son, passing on wisdom. He's saying, look, here, my son, this is how the world works. Let me share with you my God-given wisdom, and Solomon's the wisest man who ever lived. Let me pass it on so that you learn and you have wisdom too. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Receive my words and treasure up my commandments. Do not forget my teaching, my son, but let your heart keep my commandments. Just as an aside, it's a nice coincidence that we've come to Proverbs today when it's Father's Day. And one of the big things you should get from Proverbs in the first 9 chapters is the importance of good fathers. And if anyone here is a dad here, there's an example for you to follow in these first 9 chapters. You're wondering, how do I raise my kids? How do I teach them? How do I discipline them? There's not much you could do better than study these first 9 chapters to learn how to be a good dad. Come alongside your kid. Don't throw them in the river. Don't just let them be exposed to the world to find their own way. You've got a sacred responsibility to train your children. If you don't, somebody else will. Give them wisdom. Do the first couple of runs down the river with them. The biggest social crisis today, and you see this in our youth club kids, is missing dads. Missing dads. Whether they're just physically missing or that they're in the house, but they're not actively involved, making the effort to take responsibility and train their kids. So this is a wonderful word to us. We've got a model here. We need to be wise dads who teach and pass on the truth to our kids. But then, of course, it's also a word to anyone who's a kid, and if your parents are still with you, no matter how old they are, how old you get, listen to the wisdom of your parents. Listen to the wisdom. There's a recurring appeal in Proverbs where the father says, give me your heart, son. And what he's really saying is look, I know I'm a bit of an old fuddy-duddy, but you can still listen to me. You can still trust me. Listen to me. And if you've been blessed with good parents, don't harden your heart against them, but listen to them. Trust their wisdom. Our little kids are at that age now. They're always wanting to do things they're not quite old enough to do yet. At the moment, Elizabeth keeps trying to climb and stand on stuff. And she's so desperate to be independent. But a more biblical, wise way of looking at things is listen to those who are older than you. Listen to your parents and be wise. But there's this wonderful advice from this father. And to sum up the key thing in this first 9 chapters, what's the dad's advice? What's this father's wise words? Fear God. Fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's the heart of these first 9 chapters. What's he saying? He's saying, put God in charge of your life. Make sure that he's the pilot of your boat. That's the most important bit of wisdom of all. To fear God is the Old Testament way of saying you sincerely serve God from the heart, that you worship him and you honor him and you trust him and you live by his word. You obey his commands. To fear God is just saying, first in my life, the center that's going to define everything about my life, that's going to set my values, that's going to define my time, my job, my value, everything is going to come around this, that God comes first. And to live without God is foolish. He's the great creator. He's the one who made the river. He's the one who set it to go the way it goes. You're a fool to try and live without him. So make sure he is the Lord of your life. One of the things that comes across in Proverbs is that God is wise. Isn't that a wonderful way of thinking about God? God is wise. Wisdom is an attribute of God. God knows everything. He knows how to handle every single situation you will ever face in life. And he knows not just how to cope with it, but how to bring it about to the best possible outcome. He's wise. Nothing surprises him. He can see through everything. And we should praise God, not just because he's powerful and loving, but also because he's absolutely wise. You see this word, chokmah, for wisdom? It's used in the Bible to also describe skilled builders and craftsmen and artists. And Proverbs says that God has made the world in wisdom. God has crafted and shaped everything in its own particular place with wisdom, like a builder, like an artist. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. So this fast-flowing river, it has certain rules and principles to get through it. God knows. So the key point is that wisdom is a gift from God. Now, isn't that good news? 2 verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. So this wisdom that we're all after is a free gift from God. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. How experienced you are or not. You can have wisdom as a gift from God. So right now, maybe you're facing some really difficult choices. You don't know the right path to take. Ask God for wisdom. Isn't that wonderful good news? It's the renewal of a new mind within you. So this is the most important bit of wisdom of all. Fear God. Put your life in his hands. Let him guide you through life. But then, the second bit of major wisdom is, I put it this way. Go with the flow of the river, and it flows towards righteousness. If you want to be wise and live a well and a happy life, live righteously. Live a holy life according to God's laws. God's created the world and he's righteous. And so ultimately, this is how the world works. Ultimately, the foundational structure of the world is that righteousness will be rewarded and wickedness will be punished. Now, at times it might not seem that way. At times it might seem there's a bend in the river and it's flowing backwards, and it seems like the wicked start to prosper, and if you're righteous, life gets very difficult and painful. And there's times when the current's going against you. But in the end, wisdom knows the way the world really works is righteousness will be rewarded. A godly life, wickedness will be punished. The second section of the book, chapters 10 through really to the end, is a collection of wise, pithy, funny, insightful, amazing sayings. And if you look through them, they are comprehensive. Proverbs covers everything. Speaking, conflict, friendship, drinking, work, sleeping, family, eating, homemaking, money, enemies, forgiveness. You name it. Pretty much everything in life is covered in Proverbs to give us wisdom for any and every situation. But the key thing is you have to actually read them in a wise way. You've got to take each one and pause and chew on it and meditate on each statement. Because the truth is, they're not always straightforward. Now this is crucial if you're going to read Proverbs. These statements are wisdom, not laws. Now that means that they are generally true, but they fit certain circumstances. And at times there'll be exceptions. They have to be applied to the right situations in the right way. You see, all these different statements, they're not like a checklist. They're more about changing how you think. Some of them are observations where they say, life is like this. It's not right, but this is what it's like. So they're not all statements telling you how to do things. Many of them are playful, and there are plays on words. And they are meant to be funny. And they have double meanings. Perhaps The most misunderstood proverb is there's that proverb that says, train a child when he's young in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, there's a sense in which you go, oh, that's a very encouraging promise that says, if I raise my child in the Christian faith in the right way, they'll stay with it. And generally, that is true. But it's not actually quite what the proverb says, is it? That's reading into it a little bit more than it actually says. It's actually saying something a bit more general. It's saying how you just raise your kid is how they're going to turn out in the end. So it's a promise that you raise them the wrong way, that they'll turn out wrong. And you've got to read them with a great deal of sophistication and wisdom and not be oversimplistic. But what connects this, all these different proverbs, all this wisdom, what flows through all these statements as you read them, is that what lies behind all of them is that wisdom says, no matter what, act righteously. What really counts is following God's laws and words. That true wisdom is not being successful with money or wealth, fame. True success is to be right with God and doing what pleases Him. Because He's made the river. That's how the world is ultimately going to flow and work. So do things His way. Live a righteous life. So what that boils down to in Proverbs is that your character is all important. These Proverbs are meant to shape your character. In essence, they're saying, watch your thoughts, they'll become your words. Watch your words, they'll become your actions. Watch your actions, they'll become your habits. And watch your habits, they'll become your character. And many of the Proverbs are about the ultimate end of your actions. How's your life going to end if you live with wisdom? And they're about being blessed with a lasting reward at the end of life. Live by wisdom and you will leave behind a good legacy. You will receive eternal life. Live foolishly and your life will ultimately leave nothing behind of any worth. The wicked will ultimately come to nothing. And many of these proverbs are trying to teach you to think with an eternal way of looking at life. The decisions that you make day by day, think about how it's going to, what end it's leading to. What's the end result in eternity? Everything you do, small and great in life, has an eternal consequence. And so Proverbs are teaching us to think about the end of things. 11:23. The desire of righteous people ends only in good. But the hope of wicked people ends only in fury. 16:4. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. So it's a bit like saying this river of life, it's got many offshoots and channels, and they look promising at first. At times, it's very tempting to live a selfish and ungodly life. At times, that can be the easy option. But in the end, the only river that's going to get you there is the righteous way of living. That's the only one that will flow through to the end. And what Proverbs is saying to you is that true happiness, true life, can only ultimately come by living God's way. Sometimes you think, I could never become a Christian. It's too miserable. Too many rules. It's too hard. And Proverbs is saying, no, you've got it wrong. Don't be a fool. Real happiness, real joy is only found in this way of wisdom with God. I came across this wonderful story from history. Back in the days of the Russian Empire, there was a Russian countess who accepted Christ and became a Christian. And it was quite an evangelical Christian. And the Tsar was displeased. That was the Russian king. And he threw her into prison. And after 24 hours, at just the lowest level possible in Russian society, in miserable conditions, he ordered her to be brought into his presence. And he smiled and he said, well, are you ready now to renounce this silly faith and come back to the pleasures of the court? And the account says that to his surprise, the countess smiled and said, I have known more real joy and more real happiness in one day in prison with Jesus Christ than I have known in a lifetime in the courts of the Tsar. You see, what she found out is the really easy way, the really good life, is the one that is righteous, where you're walking with God. So are you facing a difficult choice right now? And you know what the righteous thing to do is, but it looks like the consequences will be hard and painful. And the easier option would be to do something that you know isn't quite right. Wisdom says, trust me. Righteousness will be easier and better in the end. That's the way of the river, the way of the world. So, make sure that God's the pilot, that he's in control of your life. That's the first bit of wisdom, fear him. And the second bit of wisdom is, go with the flow, righteousness. But then the third, the final, the other major part of Proverbs, is wisdom says, choose your companions in the boat wisely. Choose your companions wisely. There is a lot in Proverbs about friendship and about who you choose to live with and have around you. Now, the way that Proverbs does this is that it returns repeatedly to certain characters. And it says, watch out for these guys. These are people you want to avoid. So again and again, you'll see it speaks about the fool. The fool. That doesn't mean somebody who's a bit daft or silly. A fool, in the terms of Proverbs, is somebody who tries to live without God. Just tries to live without thinking of God. God's not in their home or their thoughts. That's a fool. And they're a fool because God's made the world. You're a fool if you're trying to go against his way. And that fools can be arrogant and proud. They're so sure that God's not there. So sure that they don't need him. And Proverbs says, don't hang around with fools. They'll be bad for you. Don't go with them. 26 verse 9. A fool trying to say something wise is like a drunk trying to pick a thorn out of his hand. So the person who really doesn't know God, don't trust their advice. Because they don't really know the way the world works. Or another character is the scoffer. It says, watch out for him. This is the angry kind of mocking person. And they tend to make light of everything. Of sin, of suffering. And they don't like to be corrected. They're a bit of a know-it-all. They're big on words. And so they tend to be a bit divisive or derisory. 22 verse 10. Drive the scoffer out of the room and contention will cease. Peace will come in. So avoid those kind of argumentative, awkward people who pour scorn on everything that's really good. Another character to avoid, you don't want them in your boat, is the sluggard, the lazy person, someone who avoids any hard work, a shirker. He says, I passed by the field of the sluggard, by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come upon you like a robber. Saying, watch out for laziness that creeps up. Or Proverbs warns you against the drunkard, the person who drinks too much. I mean, this is real life, isn't it? This is the world we live in. It says, don't hang around with this person. Don't go with them. It says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who try mixed drinks. Who say, they struck me, but I was not hurt. Oh, when shall I awake? I must have another drink. You see, Proverbs, all these different characters and many more, it's going to teach you what people are really like. If you want to get on in the world, you need to know how to read and understand people. You need to know how to handle people well and conflict. And if you get to know these characters, and more importantly, avoid them, you will be wise with people. My favourite that's got me out of so much trouble is in chapter 18. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You're having an argument. Somebody's cross with you, or there's raised temperatures. A soft answer. But you lower your voice and you speak gently. Such wise words. So who are you hanging out with? What's the company that you're keeping? It's going to determine how you get on through life. And Proverbs has a lot to say about family, but there's just one more key piece of advice about companionship that Proverbs emphasizes. And it says specifically, and it focuses on this, for men, for sons, marry well. Marry above yourself. And it says, in many ways, this is the biggest, wisest, most practical thing a man can do. Marry a wise woman. This book is so helpful, brothers. At the end of the book, the ultimate, ideal, godly woman is pictured in chapter 31. Now we've got the wrong idea here, because we often pressure our wives and say, you need to be like a Proverbs 31 wife. Now, sisters, how many biblical talks have you heard like that, where you said, now this is the ideal, be like the wife? There's some truth to that, but really it's not what it's about. It's saying to us men, this is who you should be seeking. This is the ultimate wise woman. And brothers, if you find a godly woman, you are so blessed. It's the wisest, best thing you'll ever do. I know many of us can say amen to that. And we wonder, how did we ever get so fortunate they chose us? 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor from the Lord. The wisest thing you can do is marry well. And Proverbs also warns us that the most foolish thing you could do is turn to an adulterous woman. And there's a running contrast all the way through the book. The wise man finds his wife and loves her. The foolish man is the one who has an affair with an adulterous woman. The reality is, men, some of you are going to be tempted at some point in your life to have that affair. Read Proverbs and it will scare you. It will make you run the other way. This woman, folly, is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. And so the third big thing that Proverbs is saying is choose your companions for the journey very carefully. These two women actually mean even something deeper in the book of Proverbs. The ultimate wise wife and the seductress woman. Proverbs actually uses them to represent the two ways of life. The way of wisdom and the way of foolishness. And wisdom becomes personified in the book. This is what you heard in chapter 8. She's personified as Lady Wisdom. And the book's saying, marry this woman. Marry wisdom that comes from God. Lady Wisdom will give you a good life. But Madam Folly, trying to live a life without God, if you marry her, she will destroy you. And so in chapter 8, wisdom's personified as this beautiful woman. And that she was there in creation. God delighted in her. She was helping God. She was dancing in creation. And she adorned the house of the world, filling it with good things. And so don't just seek a good wife. Seek and marry wisdom. The fear of God. And the desire to live a godly life. So I hope this morning that gives you something of a flavor of what Proverbs is about. That you'll go, you'll want to read this book for yourself. This is how to live the good life. Fear God. Draw in this wisdom. Live a godly life. Choose your companions. But how does all of that fit in the Bible? How does all of that fit in for and come to a climax? How is that all wonderfully fulfilled? Well, the good news is, Proverbs is really all about Jesus. This wonderful book and everything I've said, it's really all about Jesus. And you might say, how? Because his name's not mentioned. It's written centuries before Christ was born. Well, the New Testament delights in calling Jesus the wisdom of God. And there's too many examples to mention in the Bible, but Jesus is God's gift of wisdom to us. All of God's wisdom is personified and embodied in him. And the way to live a good life, the way to be wise, the way to enjoy life and live eternally is you embrace Jesus as your wisdom. Marry him. Seek him. Make him the pilot of the boat of your life. Make him the companion that you journey through life through. And he is, wisdom is personified as a picture in the book. But the true ultimate fulfilling personification of wisdom is him. He is the perfect son who listened to the Father's wisdom and lived the perfect, complete life. And as we journey through life under him and with him, guided by him, loving him, that's how we'll live. Jesus is the way to life. He's the way of life. He's the one who designed the river. He's the one who journeys on it with us. In your life, you will face a million and one choices and questions. And even with the greatest wisdom, you won't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know what's around the next bend of the river. And you could be fearful and say, I'm fearful for my kids. I'm fearful for my career. I'm fearful for the way the world's going. Because we don't know the future. But the wonderful good news is if we have Christ, we have everything. And so don't be afraid. Because the maker of the river is the same one who in life is our companion. That's Jesus sat there with us. If you will give your life over to him, he'll be there with you. So there is good news. You can live a good life. Truly good life. If you embrace Jesus Christ as your wisdom. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for your glorious wisdom that is displayed in creation. Lord, we thank you that you know everything and that all your wisdom is given to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that all the fullness of God dwells in him. And we thank you that he has become our companion in this world, that your Son became fully human in order to save us. And we thank you that he is the wisdom, the companion, the Lord that we need. Help us, Lord, day by day to lean on Christ as our wisdom and him alone. In his name we pray. Amen.